Okay, welcome to Gateway City Church. So today is High Praise, and I thought it'd be good that we look back into the area of worship, but not in particularly, Sunday congregational worship, or not in particularly singing out loud worship, that sort of worship. I'm talking about our life as a worship unto the Lord. Before I move on, how many of us here have actually composed the song before? Come on, compose the song. Oh, compose lah, compose lah. Yes, yes, yes. You know, in your room, you know, you write, you know. It need not be worship song. It could be anywhere. Maybe for your girlfriend, ka, boyfriend, ka, okay, anytime, anything. Compose the song. Got it? Got it, JC, got it? Okay. I remember... I cannot recall whether it's last year or 2 years ago. But GCC worship team had a worship retreat. Was it last year? 2 years back? 3 years already? Oh, la, 2 years. La. Okay, about 2-3 years back, la, we had a worship retreat. And I remember that we were pretty pumped up for it. La, okay, and it was pretty interesting because all of us were given opportunities to compose new songs together. Okay, and then we had questions like, you know, should we compose the lyrics first, do the lyrics first, or do the music first, things like that. So, likewise, today, I feel, in line with what I'm going to share today, I feel that I need to give you all the opportunity to explore songwriting. La. Okay, so what we're going to do is, in the next 3 minutes, okay, this one, you don't have to crack your head, okay, don't need to like, wow, I want to compose some Billboard number one song, no need, okay? But I want to give you about 3 minutes, all right, to form maybe 2-3 sentences of a song, a potential song that can, you know, come up with, okay, 2-3 lines, that's it, okay? So those of you who have attempted composing a song before, then good on you lah, so you should be quite experienced already. Those of us who have not, then this is your chance to showcase your songwriting skill lah. Alright, no pressure. I'm not going to call you out one by one and ask you to say, you know, what you've written lah. Okay, this is for you, and later on as I share, I want to bring out some points from there. Alright, so I'm going to give you 3 minutes to do that. Okay, I have a stopwatch here, so I'm going to time. 3 minutes, you can write, compose anything. Alright, anything you want. 2-3 sentences. If you can do long, if you feel 3 minutes, you can compose a verse and a chorus, then by all means, go ahead. Okay? I'm going to just give you 3 minutes. Alright, let's do that. Open your book. You want to use handphone? This is the time you can use your handphone. I allow you to use your handphone. Alright, 3 minutes. Okay, time is up. Okay, don't worry. Just put that aside first. Father, we ask, Lord, that you speak to us even as... your word is shared, Father Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us, Father Lord, in the simple things that I said, Father Lord. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would reveal new things to us, Father Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, so hold on to the lyrics that you've composed. That is for you, okay? So I'm not going to ask you individually to come up. I hope every one of us have tried, okay, at least attempt something. So if you're writing notes today, the topic of my sharing is entitled Composing Our Life Song. Alright, Composing Our Life Song. Romans 12, verse 1, I believe the youth did it as memory verse. No, last, huh? Worship. Worship team. No, la, youth la. That's why I remember youth. Okay? Okay, the youth. Kai Sheng. Okay, Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So, Scripture says, and I don't have to say this, it's nothing new. Okay, Scripture says that our life as a whole is to be worship unto the Lord. Okay, our lives are to be in a musical, musically formed phrase, it should be a melodious tune unto the Lord. Alright? Chris Tomlin, okay, one of my favorite songs that Chris Tomlin composed is Made to Worship. Okay, we are made to worship. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 96, verse 1, it says that, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Alright, so question is for us today, how do we compose our life song? Alright, so the scripture says that, you know, our life is to be worshiped unto the Lord. And when I use the term life song, meaning to say our life as a sweet, melodious tune unto the Lord, how can we, how do we do that? How do we compose our life song? So that is where I'm trying to get at. With the help of the Holy Spirit and with the help of Google, okay, I looked up and, you know, I just, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what to share, and I felt that the Lord leading me to share about this in line with High Praise. And I looked up, I searched how to compose song. Okay. And, how many of you have used wikihow.com? We got, everybody, you know, once in a while you search how to something, wikihow will come out lah. Okay. So I got this from wikihow.com. Okay, and I want us to look at this, while I got it from, Google or WikiHow, I thought that the Lord, showed me from the spiritual lens, and I want to share some of these points. Nothing new, okay, nothing new, but something for us to remind ourselves, in terms of our life, as worship unto the Lord. So, question. Okay, let's go back to the activity that you did just now. When I asked you guys to compose a few lines, what was the first thing that came to your mind? When I asked you to compose, right, what was the first thing that came to your mind? Huh? Inspiration. The first thing is you need to know what to write about. How many of you thought about, what should I write about? Or you all just come up with something? Or come up with something. I know Power there, like singing song like over there. Okay? So, very fast. Okay, so the first thing, usually the first thing when you want to compose a song is you need to know what is the song about, what are you writing about, or what are you writing for. Right? So, WikiHow says this, before you begin composing your song, you will need to consider what it is for. What the purpose of the song is, what type of song it is, will significantly impact the writing process. Okay? You should plan accordingly. Alright, so the first point that I want to bring across in line with how do we compose our life song unto the Lord is to consider the purpose. Why do we need to compose a life song in the first place? Okay, why do we need to live a life that would bring a melodious tune unto the Lord? So we need to consider the purpose first. And I'm just gonna I remember when we went for the worship retreat, okay, you know, of course, Pastor Ed didn't ask us to go, okay, you know, you're going to this group and then compose anything you want. He actually gave us a theme. Okay, I don't know whether you all remember or not. I remember my group, our theme was on freedom. I don't know whether, don't have a, okay, I think God lah, God. My group was, God right? I remember, God right, Pastor Ed, God lah. You still cannot remember. Okay. As far as I can recall, my group, we had a theme. Okay. We went with a theme on freedom. Okay. I cannot remember the tune already. Like we did come up with the song. Okay. But I cannot remember. So we had a theme. We had a direction. We had a purpose in composing a song. And from there, we birthed a tune lyrics to the song. Likewise, in our live song, if we want to compose our life song unto the Lord, we need to know why we want to compose this life song. I'm just going to point out two reminders for us, going back to our key verse of the year, which is Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It says, come, let's do this. I hope I can do it also. Okay. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. All authority has been given on earth and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I command you. And surely I will be with you to the very end of age. Correct? Okay. Depends on what version. Okay. So, the first thing that I want us to remember when we ask why do we need to compose our life song unto the Lord, it's very simple actually. Okay, it's a call for obedience. Alright, it's a call for obedience. The Great Commission is only applicable if we are a disciple of Christ. Alright, the Great Commission is a very practical call to obedience. Now, I use the word call to obedience intentionally. Alright, is the Great Commission a commandment? Yes. Okay, it is a commandment lah. Okay. Yes, but many times we use the word commandment and there is a certain focus on the command itself. Alright, so for example, if I ask Andrew, please go and bring me a cup of water. Alright, that is a command. Okay, no. I'm just giving an example. So a lot of times when there is commandment, the focus is on the command itself. Alright, but today I want us to go deeper than that and say that the focus is not just the command, but the call to obedience. Alright, so there is a slight difference. So if you follow my command, then you're following my command, but you know, inside your heart, whether there is a spirit of submissiveness, okay, a spirit of obedience to follow that command wholeheartedly. So the first point that I want to bring to us is beneath the importance of doing in regards to this verse, the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, or any other commandments of the Lord, we have to realize that the doing of these commandments are the background music. Okay? Or the commandments that the Lord gives us is background music. Okay? What is important is instead the submissiveness and the obedience of fulfilling these commandments, and these are the lead vocals. Alright, so a lot of times you hear music, the music, you know, the guitar, that, those are the background music. But the important thing is the lead vocals. You first thing you hear is like, you know, whether the lead vocal can sing or cannot sing lah. Okay, so the call for obedience is the thing that we need to realize. Why we are called, or why do we need to compose a life song unto the Lord? Okay, so while it is a commandment, the point that I want to bring across is it's a call for obedience. Second point, it's a declaration. Really, it's as simple as that. Okay, why do we need to compose a life song unto the Lord? It's basically to declare. Psalm 98, verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him." So throughout, especially the book of Psalms, you can see the psalmist is declaring. It's basically a declaration of who God is. Alright, so, you know, lyrically or poetically, okay, it is written really, really, really well. Okay, and it's a way of expressing, a way of declaring who God is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." Alright, one of my favorite verses, but a lot of times we focus on the first, you know, few parts. You say, "Your chosen generation, wow, wonderful. You know, a royal priesthood, yes." Okay, but then it says, why are we chosen? Because we need to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So our life is to be a testimony and declaration unto Him in every form. And, you know, to put this into a practical form, I was just talking to Ruth just now. Okay, where's Ruth? Ruth, why you look at me like that? So I was just asking her, right? I was just asking her, congratulations to Ruth. In case you don't know, she was proposed, when was it? 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks, two, 3 weeks ago. Alright, so I was just jokingly asking her, hey, how did he propose? Was God write new, got right song for her or not? Okay, and I remember for, you know, when I proposed to Joe, okay, many of you don't know, but I wrote a song for her. Okay, I composed a song for her. Why did I compose a song for her? Okay, while it is cheesy, it is my way of declaring my love for her. Alright, cheesy, some people say it's cheesy, okay. But really, okay, why do we compose a song for, you know, why do I want to compose a song for her? Because I want to declare in, you know, in my way, and I know in a way that she would enjoy my love for her. Okay, likewise for us, why do we want to live a life, you know, that is holy and righteous unto the Lord? Okay, because we want to declare who God is. We want to declare our love for Him. We want to declare our obedience to Him. We want to declare that we are like Him. All right, so basically the first 2 points that I want to bring across when we talk about why do we need to compose a life song is because, number one, it's a commandment. It is a call for obedience. Number two, it's a declaration. All right, I want to invite the worship team to come up and for us to be reminded of these two points first and foremost. And as they lead this song, interestingly enough, I can't remember the person who composed this song. Who composed Amazing Grace? What's his name? I can't remember. John Newton, yes. John Newton. All right. If you look at the backstory of, you know, how he composed the song, and interestingly, those of us, or, you know, if you look at songs that are powerful, usually there's a very strong message behind it. All right. And there is a great purpose or a great motivation behind the composition of those kind of songs. Okay, likewise for our life, we need to understand the motivation behind why we want to live out a life that is worthy unto Him. All right, when we understand that, the doing becomes easier. The doing becomes more willing. All right, so even as we sing this song, Amazing Grace. All right, Amazing Grace. You know, it's a song of declaration. Okay, it's a song of basically declaration to the Lord that we are free. Okay, because of who He is. And today I want us to come back and be reminded of that. All right, so let's stand. Let's stand. And just spend this time worshiping and remembering these two things. All right? Father, we declare of Your amazing grace, Father Lord. We declare, Father Lord, that our chains are broken, Father Lord, and we are free, Father Lord. And Father, in that freedom, Father Lord, teach us how to compose a life song that is worthy of You, Father Lord. Teach us, Father Lord, how to live a life that would reflect who You are, Father Lord. Father, we thank You for reminding us of the purpose, Father Lord. And the first thing that we want to come back to, Father Lord, that You would teach us to have a heart, Father Lord, of obedience, Father Lord. Teach us to have a heart of obedience unto You, Father Lord. Teach us, Father Lord, to be bold to declare, Father Lord, through our life, through the gifts that You have given us, Father Lord, through our speech, Father Lord. Father, we just ask that You would just teach us, Father Lord, today. Reveal Yourself to us, even as we seek to compose a beautiful song unto You, Father Lord, through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the question is, how do we compose our life song unto the Lord? The first point, consider the purpose. All right, consider the purpose. The first thing that we want to consider is the call for obedience. The second, declaration. Okay. The second point that I want to bring about is this. WikiHow says this, okay? Some people will compose entirely from their own mind and will only sing or hum a part of it, a part if they need to get an idea of how it sounds. Others, especially when writing a piece to be played on a specific instrument, will use that instrument while composing in order to try out how certain things sound. Think about if you want or need an instrument with you in order to compose and plan accordingly. All right, so the second point in how to compose our life song is to consider the instrument. Alright, you know, I was glad that some of you, while we were doing the activity just now, you all were already humming. You know, some of you were making a tune. You know, Pawa, you want to share with us the tune? No? Okay. Alright, so I, you know, some of us are already, you know, thinking about a tune. Humming, you know, whistling, singing out loud, things like that. And the second point that I want us to be reminded of in the spiritual sense, as we think about composing our life song, is we must consider the instrument of gifts that the Lord has given each of us. All right, the instrument of gifts. In order for us to live out a life that is complete and full, one of the things that we need to do is to know, acknowledge, embrace, and to use the gift that the Lord has given us. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8 says, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Verse 4, it says, For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. All right, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. I believe that in order for us to compose a life song, one of the elements is that it requires us to utilize the gifts that God has given us. You know, I remember as I was doing this, I was recalling, somehow the Lord was, you know, brought me back to the time when I first started playing the guitar. If you don't know, I started around, I think, around the age of 12, being forced by my mom. Okay, you know, one of those things, you know, your mom sent you to, so you got no choice, that one. Okay, so I remember because my church at that point in time, we have this Saturday guitar lessons in church. So my mom bought me a 60 ringgit classical guitar. Okay, those kapok guitar, you know, those. And forced me to go. Okay, I remember I hated it. Okay, I hated it because I was the youngest. I have no musical background. And it was a dread going. And I remember at the time, at the same time, when the guitar class was going on, they had futsal. Obviously, I won't go for futsal rather than guitar class, right? Okay, so I remember growing up, disliking it. Okay, and you know, I remember telling Joe a million times before that, you know, now I look back, I got to thank my mom lah. Okay, I thank my mom, immensely for forcing me at that point in time. So, guys, if your parents force you to do certain things, it's for your own good, huh? Okay? I mean, good things lah, okay, good things lah. So, I remember growing up with, being forced to learn. And as I grew to practice more, I grew to exercise playing the guitar more, I begin to grow in terms of skill. Okay, I begin to grow in terms of skill, understand certain musical terms and things like that. Okay, and then slowly, you know, I slowly started to play among friends. You know, usually last time, we will, you know, come together. I don't know, nowadays maybe less lah. But back then, church always, you know, come together after youth or what, and then you gather and play songs, things like that. And then from there, I remember playing in small groups. Okay, like, you know, like cell group kind of thing. And then from there, you know, in bigger church events, major events. And as I thought about it, I think similarly with this, similarly with the gifts that God has given us, you know, some of us perhaps are in a place whereby we are not embracing the gifts, okay? I don't know how many of you know what your gifts are, which I will come to it later. But some of us know what our gifts are, right? And then some of us maybe have not embraced it, Okay, you know, some of you, maybe your gift is teaching, but you don't like to come up front to teach. Okay, so you wrestle with that. Okay, maybe some of you, you have a heart of, you know, a pastoral heart. Okay, but maybe you struggle with certain things that, you know, makes you not come to a point of embracing that gift. So, similarly with gifts and, you know, music, whatever it is, we got to exercise it. All right, just like when, you know, when I first started off with guitar, I was forced to. I didn't like it. I practiced it. Okay, you know, once in a while, I just, okay, show my mom, like, I can play this chord, that chord, okay, and then continue, play, and then I gain in terms of skill. I gain in terms of confidence to play. And likewise, with the gifts that God has given us, we have to practice it. Alright? And as we practice it, the thing is this, okay, as we practice, I believe that the Lord would eventually grow the sphere of influence that we function in that particular gift. Okay, so like how I started off, you know, playing among friends, okay, small group, you know, maybe 2-3 of us. Okay, then I continue to play, then small group setting. And then I continue to grow in confidence, continue to embrace the gift of music, for instance. Then, you know, I gain more confidence, I play at major church events, for example. So I believe that as we practice exercising the gift, God would give more, okay? Give more, grow more, grow more, grow more, to a point whereby you won't realize that your life song is beginning to sing out loud, where it has impact multiple groups of people. Alright, so first point, consider the purpose. Second point, consider the instruments that you have. Alright, so I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to write this down. I will tell you why later on. What are the instrument of gifts that you think you have? Okay? What are the instrument of gifts you think you have? Alright? It could be the fivefold ministry, for example. But if you want to be specific, for example, you think that you have the gift of, I don't know, I can't think of it. You feel that you have the gift of, give me something. Singing, okay? Gift of singing, for example. You feel that, you know, you sing really well. You want to write that down specifically. You know that you have the gift. You can do that. Okay, but I want you to write this down, okay? What are the gifts, instrument of gifts you think you have? Okay? Write at least one down, lah. Okay? At least one, lah. Okay? I'll write it down. Okay, the one thing that you write should be the strongest, lah. Means the gift that you believe you have one, lah. Okay? Okay, all good? All good, huh? Right, huh? Right, huh? Make sure you write, huh? Okay, if you want to elaborate more, you can do that later, but at least one, write one down. Okay, at least one down. Okay, so consider the purpose, consider the instrument. The third point and the final point that I want to bring across is this, okay, coming back to WikiHow, okay? WikiHow says this, consider your method of documentation, okay? Consider how you will be writing the music down in both final format and while you are working. Those with more musical training will want to write music on a chord chart, whereas those who have less may want to write out tabs. Write out tabs. If you are writing only for yourself and have a very good memory, it may be possible not to write anything at all, but this is not recommended. Okay? So the third thing I want to bring across is this. So if you realize WikiHow says this, okay, consider how your method of documentation, consider how you'll be writing the music down. Why do you need to write the music down? For you to remember and for you to work on it, basically. Alright, so if you look at it, it's basically, my third point is this, okay, I took it from another point of view. My third point is this, consider your method of partnership. Okay, consider your method of partnership. Alright, to write the music down, it says here that if you are writing only for yourself, okay, and have a very good memory, it may be possible not to write anything at all. But this is not recommended. Okay, so basically, they are saying you have to partner with at least a pen and paper. Okay, you need to partner with at least, you know, your laptop or something. Okay, consider your method of partnership. So in the spiritual sense, okay, as we consider how to compose a life song unto the Lord, you need to consider partnership. All right, so I gave you an activity just now, compose 2 to 3 lines. Okay, and if I were to say, guys, you know, let's go home and write a full song out of this. Okay, how many of you will do it? No, if you know you're going to do it, you put out your hand. If you're not sure you will do it, then you don't put out your hand. Okay, I know Krista will do it. Okay, good on you, Krista. Okay, so the point being is this. All right, if I were to ask you to do it alone, chances is you won't do it, lah. Okay, but if I were to say, okay, you know, JC, Ashton, Andrew, why not you all gather, okay, and then work on something. Okay, partner and work on something, come up with something. All right, higher chance, right? Higher chance, JC. Higher chance of something coming out, lah. Okay, so composing our life song. Okay, composing our life song. If you want to compose a life song that is complete, it requires partnership. Alright, it requires us to come together and say, hey, I want to partner with you. Okay, I want to partner with you in living a life that is full unto the Lord. And the beautiful thing about partnership is this. The first partnership that we have is in Christ. Alright, Matthew 28 verse 20, it says at the end of it, okay, it's a beautiful thing because, you know, I think the Lord knows that we need it, alright, and it says that, and surely I will be with you, okay, and surely I will be with you to the very end of age, alright, so that is Christ saying, I want to partner with you, okay, in obedience, in the call of obedience, all right, in the call of declaring who God is, all right, in the midst of doing all that, you know, all that I've asked you to do, I want to partner with you. All right, so the first point for us to remember is consider partnership, and the first partnership that we have and the privilege that we have is Christ Himself. And surely I will be with you. All right, and surely I will be with you. The second call to partnership is the call to partner with the family of Christ. All right, Romans 12, 3 to 8, which I read just now, it says that, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. All right, so we all don't have the same gift. All right, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So the call to partner with the family of Christ. And this is where I want to get at as I close the sharing today. You know, our recent inception of the new discipleship group is about partnership. All right, it's about partnership. All right, while it's about growing and all that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, it is about partnership. And what I want us to do, I hope I can do this. I have not asked Pastor Ed about this, lah. Okay, but I want us to discuss in our next discipleship group on certain things that have been shared here today. That is why I asked you to write certain things down. And from there, hopefully, y'all can discuss a bit further. You know, it's about partnership. My discipleship group, I think nobody can beat us yet, lah. Okay, we meet. Do you know what time we meet? Anybody want to give a wild guess? You cannot guess, lah. Jason, you want to guess or not? Okay, we meet 6:50 a.m. Okay, 6:50 a.m. All right, now this cannot be done. This is not possible if there's no partnership, lah. Okay, because it requires commitment. When we say partnership, means there is a certain commitment we put into it. All right, there is a certain understanding, a certain effort that's been put into it. So my discipleship group meets at 6:50, and 6:50 a.m. Baru wake up, and Pastor Ed is our leader. Obviously, you know, early morning your brain already fried lah. Okay, so likewise, what I want us to do in our discipleship group this week is to discuss some of these things. To discuss what is our purpose in composing our life song, or have we even considered, composing our life song unto the Lord? And then I also ask you guys to write down some of your gifts, all right? And I want you to discuss in your discipleship group as well, you know, if you have this gift, then how are you contributing to the body of Christ? Okay, how are you using it for, you know, to compose a life song unto the Lord? Okay, how are you using your gifts? The third thing that I want us to discuss is, what are we struggling with partnership? All right, what are we struggling with partnership? Partnership, I mentioned just now, okay, it's, you know, two or more people gathering together, partnering, okay, for a certain goal. But in the midst of that, because we're humans, whenever there's a relationship, there's always conflict. All right, so what are some of the struggles in partnership that we have, that we face? I want us to look into that. And yeah, so I just want to share these 3 points today. The first point, consider the purpose. All right, our life song unto the Lord. Why do we need to compose a beautiful song unto the Lord? It is a call for obedience. It is about declaring who He is. The second point, consider the instruments that you have. All right, Scripture says use it. Use them. And the third point, consider your method of partnership. You know, what's your partnership? A lot of times we use the word accountability lah. Okay, but I felt today I wanted to use something a bit more personal. Okay, when you use the word partnership, I feel it's a bit more personal. Alright, a bit more personal. Partnership. Consider your method of partnership. The call for partnership with Christ is the call for partnership with the family of Christ. So I want to end by playing a song, just for us to spend some time reflecting. And I want us to also, as we end, it's a time of offering as well. Romans 12, verse 1, I begin with the particular verse. And I want to remind us that at the end of the day, if you forget everything, what I've just said, Romans 12, 1 says it all. All right, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And so today, as we talk about how to compose, one, and I mentioned just now, there are many practical ways that shows our how to compose a song. Okay, you can do good works. Okay, in fact, Scripture encourages to show our faith in action. All right, and the call to the Great Commission is one of it, and offering is another form of us taking a step and saying, Lord, I want to give back unto you. I want to compose a song unto you through my giving. All right, so as we listen to the song is with the title. I think the title is called "And My Life Song Sings" by Casting Crown. I think. I just want us to reflect on what has been shared and to be reminded that at the end of the day, our life is about eternity, lah. Okay, it's about eternity. And how are we composing that song beginning from this point in time until we come face to face with the Lord? And as you reflect, as the song ends, when you're ready, come up front and give unto the Lord. I just want to pray for all of us first as we prepare to give and to say a thank you unto the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, Father Lord. We thank you for reminding us that there is a purpose, Father Lord, in desiring to compose a song unto you, Father Lord. And we want this, and we want to compose a beautiful life song unto you, Father Lord. Teach us to do so. Teach us to obey, Father Lord. Teach us to obey. Where there are areas where we struggle to obey, Father Lord, we ask that you grant us a heart of humility, Father Lord, to just learn to be submitted to you, Father Lord. Teach us, Father Lord, to be very, very humble, Father Lord, in obedience unto you, whether it's practical acts, Father Lord, or even in faith, Father Lord. Father, we also want to ask, Lord, that you teach us to declare aloud of who you are, Father Lord, through our lives. It could be in the simple things in life, Father Lord. It could be, you know, how we converse with people. It could be how, you know, we pray for people, Father Lord. Whatever it is, teach us to declare who you are in our lives, Father Lord. We also want to pray and ask that you teach us to use the gifts that you have given us, Father Lord. Whatever that gift may be, Father Lord, teach us to embrace it. Teach us to acknowledge it. Teach us to use it, Father Lord. And last but not least, Father Lord, we ask that you teach us to partner, Father Lord, with you and with the body of Christ, Father Lord. And even as we come to a point of offering unto you, Father Lord, we want to give the best gift unto you, Father Lord. Teach us, Father Lord, to give our life unto you, our life song unto you, Father Lord. So we ask, Lord, that you continue to speak to us, throughout the week, and bless your people, Father Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.